A couple of years ago, in the middle of the night, I woke up because I needed to go to the bathroom. I tried to stand up, and I was immediately stopped in my tracks by excruciating pain. I could not stand up. I couldn't even sit up, but I needed to get to the bathroom. So I very carefully maneuvered myself to the edge of the bed, and then even more carefully leaned and turned my body in whatever way I could that wouldn't hurt. And somehow, so carefully, got myself into a semi-standing position. But then I still had to get myself to the bathroom. So I began to move very slowly, very gingerly across the room with the slightest wrong motion causing more of that excruciating pain. I made my way across the room so slowly. I got a little impatient. I became a little careless. And I moved a little too quickly, and before I even knew it, the pain was unbearable, and I passed out, fell on the floor. I was all right, because fortunately I was pretty bent over, and so hadn't fallen very far. And I came too quickly and did what I needed to do and made it back to bed. The next day, I went to the doctor and got some muscle relaxants for what she diagnosed as simply some muscle overuse from repeatedly bending over to pull weeds from our lawn. So no more weeding for me for a little while. I decided I could live with that. That was probably some of the worst pain I had ever experienced, and I've given birth to 3 children without anesthesia. It was pretty awful. The searing pain and discomfort I felt, however, and the resulting limitations lasted less than a week. The woman in today's text lived with her pain and discomfort and limitations, we are told, for 18 years. For 18 years, the scripture says, she had been bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. For 18 years, she had lived with a spirit that had crippled her, as it is described in the text. According to Merriam-Webster, to be crippled by something means to be deprived of capability for service, or of strength, efficiency, or wholeness, to be deprived of wholeness. For 18 years, this woman had lived with a spirit that crippled her, leaving her bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. Think about that. For 18 years, she had only been able to see the ground in front of her. For 18 years, she had not been able to look others in the eye or have others look her in the eye. For 18 years, she had not been able to lift her arms in prayer or raise her head to the heavens in praise. For 18 years, she had been deprived of wholeness until that day. Until that day we just read about. Until that day when she went to the temple, probably expecting it to be like any other day she had gone to the temple, a day in which she would praise and worship her God and pray, but expecting, like every other day, to do that bent over, unable to stand up straight, seeing only the legs and the feet of those around her, deprived by that spirit that crippled her of wholeness. But that day was different, because on that day, there was Jesus. Jesus was at the temple, and Jesus saw her. Jesus saw her. Jesus saw her. Just that, in and of itself, was a miracle. For years, this woman had virtually been unseen, and she had become accustomed to it, going about her business by herself. For years, this woman had basically been invisible, and she had grown used to it, praying her prayers and offering her worship alone. For years, the spirit that crippled this woman had rendered her effectively unimportant, of little or possibly no use to anyone else around her, so much so that she hardly even thought about it anymore. She let that same spirit that crippled her become a shield of protection around her, keeping her from feeling disappointment at her unanswered prayers for healing, keeping her from feeling dismay at her unrelenting loneliness. But then, on that day, Jesus saw her. And suddenly she was no longer unseen, but seen. Suddenly she was no longer invisible, but visible. Suddenly she was no longer unimportant, but important. So important to Jesus in that moment, in fact, that when he saw her, he stopped teaching and he called her over to him because he had seen her. He had seen that she was bent over and unable to stand up straight, and he understood the pain and discomfort that that caused her in her body. But he saw too the spirit that had crippled her for 18 years, and he understood the pain and discomfort that that caused her in her soul. In that moment, Jesus saw the woman in a way that she hadn't been seen by anyone for 18 years. And he was moved by a spirit of compassion, and he was reminded of the scripture that he had proclaimed himself, that he had been sent to fulfill, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus saw this woman, and he immediately understood that she, living as she had been, was impoverished by her condition, that she was captive to the spirit that had crippled her for so long, that she was oppressed by the pain, by the limitations, by the loneliness, that she was deprived in both her body and her spirit of the wholeness that God desired for her and for all people, and that it was time for God's favor to be proclaimed over her and for God's healing to be claimed by her. Jesus saw this woman, and empowered by the Spirit of God, which is unimaginably bigger and stronger and more powerful than the spirit that had crippled her, Jesus said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And he laid his hands on her, perhaps in prayer, perhaps in blessing, perhaps simply in tenderness and love, knowing that it probably had been years since she had felt the tenderness of a loving human touch. Whatever his reasons were, he laid his hands on her. And we are told that immediately she stood up straight. Although I want to share that as I was reading this week, I learned that that phrase in the Greek, "she stood up straight," more accurately reads, "she was straightened up," which really, I think, gives it a different feel. That even after she'd been healed and set free by Jesus, it was presumably God who straightened her up, who empowered her to stand tall, whose spirit filled her so completely that she could no longer remain bent over. So I'm going to say it that way. When Jesus laid his hands on her, immediately she was straightened up by God and began praising God. She had been freed by the Spirit of God from the spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She had been freed by the Spirit of God from whatever it was that had kept her bent over and unable to stand up straight. The woman had been freed by the Spirit of God from all that kept her captive, from all that had diminished her in body and in spirit, from all that had separated her from those around her and had deprived her of wholeness. The woman had been freed by the Spirit of God dwelling fully in Jesus, and she was straightened up by God and began to praise God with a fullness of spirit and an authenticity that she had not experienced before. What is it that's keeping you bent over and unable to stand up straight? Not in your body, perhaps, but in your spirit. Because we all have something. We all have something. The woman's something was obvious, right? Or at least part of it was. She was physically bent over. Our something isn't usually as obvious. We can hide it and even act as though our something is nothing. But we all have something. So what is it that's keeping your spirit captive? What is it that's diminishing your soul? What is it that's keeping you from praising God with the fullness of your most authentic self? What is it that's keeping you from the wholeness that God desires for you? There are all kinds of ways that we can answer that question, right? There are things in our day-to-day lives that weigh us down and keep our spirits from standing up straight. There's stress, anxiety, anger, shame, financial concerns, political concerns, relationship concerns, problems at school, problems at work, problems at home, dependence on drugs or alcohol. There are things in our past that keep our spirits captive. Voices from our childhood, maybe, that tell us we're not good enough, that we're not worthy of love. Voices that tell us we need to be more responsible and make better choices. Voices that tell us that painful things that happened to us when we were kids were somehow our fault. Or perhaps difficult things that we went through earlier in our lives that now, looking back, we desperately wish we could have done differently. That today we continue to relive and rehash. That in our sleepless moments, we cannot stop beating ourselves up for. And there are things that we imagine in our future that diminish our souls. Worries about our health or our children's health or our parents' health. Fears about the direction our country is going in. Concerns about where our world is headed. Anxiety about the future in general, fueled by nagging questions of what if, what if, what if. There are so many ways for us to answer that question. But what is it that's keeping your soul bent over and unable to be released? What is it that's keeping your spirit captive? What is it that's diminishing your soul? What is it that's keeping you from the wholeness that God desires for you? Because God does desire wholeness for you. God does desire wholeness for each of us. God desires wholeness for all of us. So what is it? What's keeping you from receiving the gift of wholeness from God? However you answer that question, and that is a good and absolutely necessary first step toward wholeness, to be able to answer that question, or at least to start thinking about an answer to that question. But whatever that answer is, you need to know that God is bigger than that thing. You need to believe that God is stronger than any of those things. You need to claim that God is more powerful than all of those things. And then you need to let God straighten you up. Because just like the woman who entered the temple that morning, Jesus sees you. Jesus can see the spirit that is crippling you. He sees that thing that is depriving you of wholeness. And he, like the woman, is calling you over to him that you might be healed. Do you hear him? Will you let the Holy Spirit of God, dwelling fully and powerfully in Jesus, be more powerful in your life than that spirit that is crippling you? Will you let the Holy Spirit of God, dwelling fully and powerfully in Jesus, release you from whatever it is that's diminishing your soul? Will you let the Holy Spirit of God, dwelling fully and powerfully in Jesus, straighten you up? God is waiting for you to come. And God is ready. God is so ready to set you free from whatever is depriving you of wholeness. If only we will let God do it. Amen.